You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Unless you've been hiding in a cave these past few weeks, you probably have been aware of a bit of uncertainty in the economy, right? Those markets swinging back and forth, the mortgage problems, the banks going bust. And maybe you're feeling like you're not exactly in control of what's going to happen in Washington or Wall Street or on Main Street. And it just might be that those feelings of being out of control may make you more likely to believe weird things, to subscribe to superstitions, conspiracy theories, see patterns where there are none. New work published this week in the journal Science says that in times when you're not in control, your brain may be more likely to create a sense of control and allow you to believe in things that just are not so. Joining me now to talk about the study is one of its authors, Jennifer Whitson, assistant professor in the Department of Management at the McCombs School of Business, part of the University of Texas at Austin. She joins us from her office in Austin. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ira. It's great to be here.
You're welcome. Is this tendency to perhaps connect the dots where no dots exist, is this a defensive or a survival mechanism or what?
I think it's definitely a survival mechanism. I mean, people are usually very good at perceiving patterns. It helps us to understand what's going on in the world around us so we know how to act and what to do to achieve our goals. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this is an example of that survival instinct gone wrong.
Good. Give us an example. Let's talk in concrete terms about how you know about this. Let's talk about some of the experiments that you did.
Okay, well, you know, we looked at a variety of different forms of pattern perceptions. And when I say we, I mean myself and my co-author, Adam Galinsky, at the Kellogg School of Management. And what we did is we showed that across a wide array of situations, things like superstitious perception, thinking that stomping your feet, for example, affected how well your ideas were accepted at a meeting, as well as conspiratorial perceptions, thinking that people were talking behind your back, seeing images in static, detecting trends in the stock market. All of these things are affected by the same visceral need for control.
Hmm. And so when you're out of control, then you try to create these things.
Yes.
To make yourself feel like you're more in control.
Yes. I mean, lacking control is a highly aversive state. And so one of the fundamental ways we can feel in control is to understand what's happening. But if the world is so complex or so chaotic that it's not immediately apparent what's going on, then we reach for illusions.
Hmm. So can you jump and leap to people who are very much conspiracy people, or you know those kinds of people? Are they more out of control with things, or feel like they're out of control with things in their lives?
I mean, I think a lot of times when you look at groups of people who believe in these vast worldwide conspiracies with all of these elaborate and arcane plots and secrets, then you know the very groups who believe these things are the groups who do not have a lot of control over, you know, the political system that they're in, or don't have a lot of control over their outcomes or the way they're viewed in general.
Mm-hmm. And would this have anything to do with stress at all causing these things?
I think so. I mean, a lot of lacking control is a very stressful and aversive state. And so I think stress does correlate.
Mm-hmm. Let's tell us about some of the exact experiments. They're kind of fascinating, what you did to put these people feeling like they weren't in control.
Well, in one particular study, we had people recall a time in their life in which they lacked control.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then asked them, presented them with several situations in which you could make a superstitious connection. So I've mentioned already, you know, they were told in one case they regularly stomp their feet before they go into meetings because they feel it's more likely that people will accept their ideas.
Right.
And then before entering one meeting, they're running behind, they forget to stomp their feet, and their meetings are not accepted, I mean, their ideas are not accepted. And then we asked them, how related do you think these two things are? And how worried are you about stomping your feet in the future?
Hmm.
And the folks who had recalled a time in their life in which they lacked control were significantly, saw these two things as significantly more connected than those who had recalled a time in their life in which they were in control.
Interesting. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-989-8255. Matt in Tucson. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Oh, thank you. I was in Somalia back in 1992 and into 93, and it was a very crazy place. And I knew a lot of other journalists, and I knew a lot of aid workers, and just people who had been sucked into the situation. And it was remarkable the pad and Lucky Charms from people who would normally have never had it. And more importantly, it was such a convoluted and involved clan structure that people would start to think that they could figure out what everything meant in a gesture from anyone else. And I've read since then, and it's quite common in combat situations, not particularly within the military, but civilians or other individuals, and those really high stress where you have no control, that the way you handle it is you kind of make yourself think like you're really on top of sensing everything that's going on, and when something bad happens, you're like, yeah, I knew that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Whitson?
I think that is exactly the kind of thing we're talking about. When you're experiencing such a severe lack of control, you know, then you're going to reach for those connections between things so that you can feel like you are affecting the world.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling, Matt.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, though, out of that. Afterwards, you could really make some stupid mistakes once you were back in a society where you had control.
Huh.
Yeah, I think that's a very pertinent comment, because you know, these illusions are good when you have no other way of achieving control, right? Because they can calm you down. But once you're in a situation where you can make sense of things, if you're still holding on to these illusions, you know, very dangerous things can happen.
Matt, do you have one in particular?
Well, I think that I'd rather speak in general terms. Allow me to say, the 6 months after I got back, I set the bar for boneheaded behavior.
Okay. We'll let you off the hook. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks for
Bye.
Calling. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Virginia in Sacramento. Hi, Virginia.
Hi.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Okay. I have, as I said to the lady that answered the phone, I have never felt so out of control in my life with this bailout and everything going on with Congress. We have emailed. We have called. I have a cafe here in Northern California, and a lot of my customers feel the same way. We feel whatever we're doing, they're just not listening to us. It's a very, very frustrating position to be in. We don't know what else we can do.
Do you find people making these connections that don't exist, or doing weird behavior?
Weird behavior. I don't know what's weird behavior. No, I don't think so. I mean, the people I talk with and deal with are pretty sensible people, but there's a sense of lack of control over your own life and what direction you want things to go in.
Yeah.
Because nobody's listening to you out there.
Yeah.
The people that are in a position to do something are not listening to us.
Dr. Whitson, I mean, there is some sort of parallel that we could look back on the situation we're in, like the stock market crash, is there not, and examine what happened then?
I mean, I think so, definitely. There's actually some very interesting research that shows that around the time of the Great Depression, people actually started buying more books on astrology.
Oh,
and, you know, I think even now, you know, particularly actually, we've just been contacted by people talking about how some are suspicious about, you know, the government's timing of their takeover of Washington Mutual. And since it occurred very shortly after the $700 billion bailout was proposed, you know, some people are saying, well, it's a conspiracy. They're trying to get people to support the bailout by, you know, by scaring everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. Scared is exactly the word that a lot of people feel. It's fear-mongering that they're trying to do to us to get us to go along with what they're doing. And we're not hearing from the people, enough people, that really are in a position to judge what other options we have besides what they just passed.
All right, Virginia, have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you. And, of course, there were a lot of conspiracy theories after 9/11.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it was interesting. There were two diametrically opposed beliefs that cropped up. In one, people were immediately convinced that Iraq was involved. And in another, people saw the CIA as the behind-the-scenes cause of the fall of the towers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's even similar effects historically with the bombing of London in World War II. Even though later statistical analysis showed that the bombs fell randomly, people were still convinced that they had targeted particular areas of the city. And, you know, there were some really negative outcomes from this. People in the areas of the city that had been spared were suspected of being Nazi sympathizers. Their lives and livelihoods were often endangered because others wanted to retaliate against them.
Mm-hmm. Is it Desfandi? Is that who it is in Louisville? Hi there.
Paul.
Hi there. Go.
I just want to offer a small comment.
Sure.
Isn't it true that humanity at large is guilty of inferring that there is a causality when, in fact, there is only a correlation?
You mean whether they're out of control or not, they're looking for causality?
Well, you know, we all do this, you know.
Yeah.
We see a correlation and we think there is causality, and you got to do a very detailed design experiment before you can infer that there is, in fact, causality, you know.
Jennifer?
I mean, I think that's a very interesting question. We haven't looked at it from exactly that angle.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. You know, people who are under stress all the time, and I'll point to my favorite, one of my favorite topics, baseball. You know, you have these pitchers, you have baseball players to win, to become first, to win the World Series. They've got all kinds of superstitions.
They do, and it's actually fascinating because they've actually found that the players whose positions are most affected by luck and chance are those that have the greatest number of superstitions. So outfielders, not particularly superstitious, but when you're about to go up to bat, people often have lucky shirts. They have these, you know, complex rituals they go through. You know, they have to have a particular bat they pick.
Yeah, and they never, some of them never touch the foul line. They jump over that foul line.
Exactly, yeah.
And then they go out and blow the ball game. At least, at least here in New York, they do. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Mark in Roseville, California. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I've been very excited in hearing the conversation here because it snaps something into focus for me. I work in a domestic violence prevention program for men. And what I notice is that most men describe when they did their violence, they were feeling out of control in their family and got this sort of magical thinking that if they did what they did, if they were more controlling and more macho and more dominant, that somehow that would bring their family closer together when that was, in fact, the behavior that was separating them from their family to begin with.
Hmm.
That's a really interesting comment, Mark. And I think, you know, of course, I haven't examined this particularly, but a lot of times you hear people interpreting the behavior of those that they abuse in a very particular way. You know, they took this small action, but it implies that it's because they don't respect me, or it implies because they're trying to do something behind my back. And they essentially start getting these conspiratorial ideas about what's going on that aren't warranted.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you.
So as Mark says, can you then turn things around? If you can find a way to calm yourself, to calm your brain down, does that put you back in control?
I think it can. Our sixth study in our paper actually looks at whether self-affirmations would reduce illusory pattern perception, and they do. But, of course, by self-affirmation, I don't mean, you know, looking yourself in the mirror and saying, I can do anything. We actually gave people a list of six values and asked them to rank them. And then we gave people an opportunity to answer questions, essentially to discuss the value that they held dearest for a while. And those were the people whose illusory pattern perception dropped. Because, you know, values, you always have control of your values, no matter how chaotic the world is around you. And they had been given a chance to confirm the things that they held dearest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that kind of returned their sense of control to them. And I think that sort of can be widely extrapolated, you know. Even if you're in a situation where you're particularly chaotic, taking a moment to step back and take stock and recognize that no matter how chaotic this situation is, it's not the entirety of your universe. There's still things you have control over. You know, even in the worst and darkest situations, you always have control over how you react to that situation. Mm-hmm. But in many cases, if your workplace is chaotic, you know, your home life might still be calm. You might still have control over that.
Mm-hmm.
Finding other areas and sort of just focusing on those for a moment.
Mm-hmm. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Talking about losing control with Jennifer Whitson, of the assistant professor at the McComb School of Business. That's part of the University of Texas at Austin. Let's go to the phones to Bob in St. Paul. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Ira. Thanks for taking my call. Hello, Dr. Whitman. I'm concerned about some of the extrapolations that you're making from your study. You know, I'm sure that you have found something. I thought that some of the examples you referred to earlier would be consistent with something that we might see in obsessive-compulsive disorder in terms of rituals and things that people need to do in order to feel safe. But I'm concerned that this would be extrapolated to people that believe in conspiracies, as it were, in terms of creating the notion that all people that believe in the existence of a conspiracy are somehow off. In the sense, for example, of the Kennedy assassination and the belief that the investigation following that was a whitewash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just like to hear your comments on my ideas there.
All right, Bob.
I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for calling. Maybe there is a conspiracy sometimes, he's saying. Even when you think there is one, you might be right, I guess, to sum him up.
And I think, yeah, I mean, exactly. You know, and I think just because people perceive illusory patterns doesn't mean that sometimes something's not, you know, actually mm-hmm. there. But it's something that definitely requires further examination.
Mm-hmm. Where do you go from here with this kind of research?
Well, I'm really interested in looking at what will help people to accurately perceive patterns. What would make people better able to more efficiently understand complex or chaotic situations and sort of, you know, come through them understanding exactly what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also interested in what kind of form the illusory patterns take. You know, are they particularly threatening because they're coming out of a threatening situation, or are they comforting because they're a response to the threat where we're trying to make ourselves feel safe again?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're all familiar with having a big argument, a blow up in your family, and accusing people of all kinds of stuff. Would that be part of this kind of problem? And you're under huge stress, and then, you know, you accuse your spouse, your kids, or whatever. You know, you're all in this together against me.
Yeah, I think that's actually a great example of people sort of perceiving a conspiracy where one might not really be there.
Yeah.
You know, thinking that all of your family members are, you know, acting against you is probably not an accurate assessment most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to you, and thank you for taking time to be with us.
Thanks.
Jennifer Whitson is an assistant professor in the Department of Management at the McCombs School of Business, part of the University of Texas at Austin. That's about all the time we have for today. Greg Smith composed our theme music, and we had help today from NPR librarian Key Molesky. Comments or questions, go over to our website, leave us email there. We're podcasting and blogging, and you can download our Science Friday video pick of the week. It's a great pick of the week this week, as we have dozens of them up there, and also you can download them. You can load them onto your iPods. We can they're video iPods. You can podcast them just like you can our audio iPods. If you want to send us email, send it from there. Or the old-fashioned way, Science Friday, 4 West 43rd Street, room 306, New York, New York, 10036. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flato in New York.